Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM, today's Modern Worship. Thank you for getting your year started off, feeding your spirit, feasting on the Word of God, and we want to thank you for joining us here on the Refresh radio program. So want to start off today just by reminding you that our spiritual renewal that we do every January is going to be this Sunday morning. We've got evangelist Mark Perkey that is going to be with us. He's traveled literally all over the globe. He's a phenomenal preacher, an anointed man of God, a tremendous legacy in the faith, and a tremendous testimony of healing. He was supposed to have had died when he was a teenager, and God miraculously healed him, and he has now been telling people about Jesus and preaching revival in churches all across the globe ever since we graduated from Bible college. He graduated a few months before I did, but a tremendous blessing to the body of Christ, and we want to encourage you to come and be a part of that. He and his wife, Susie, who is a gifted speaker in her own right and leads the women's ministry for the Oklahoma Assemblies of God. She is also going to be with us this coming Sunday morning, and we're really anticipating a tremendous move of God. So join us Sunday morning if you are able at 10:30, and that would be a great blessing to us and a great blessing to you. So we also want to say thank you to the folks of Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804, if you need any concrete work done. I've told somebody this one time, it's like, you know, when I was growing up, there really weren't too many guys involved in artsy things. There were probably some, but most of us couldn't draw decent stick figures. But what I've learned from being around construction people through the years is that there's an artistic element to the trades that many people do not appreciate, but I do. And so whenever I had this happen back in November, somebody came and they were looking for concrete work, and I said, have you talked to the folks of Jits Concrete? Because you need to call them. They've got decades of experience. They have a tremendous amount of expertise in what they do, and they have a great work ethic, and they're not interested in gouging their customers. They do a honest day's work for an honest day's pay. And so I want to encourage you to give them a call, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. Let this be the year that you, get it started off on the proper foundation, and the folks at Jits Concrete can help you do that. If this is the year that you make a decision that you are going to become more active in the body of Christ, if you do not have a church home, we would be honored if you would consider Merit Assembly of God. We would be honored to be able to come alongside you, to serve you in your spiritual growth journey, and to be your pastor. And for me, being a pastor is not just about preaching from the pulpit. I'm interested in helping people in any area of their life with the experiences that I've got, with the wisdom that God has shared with me. And so sometimes that wisdom can say, you know, instead of considering doing that this way, have you considered doing it this way? And it doesn't have to do anything about their spiritual journey. I've just had some experiences through the years that I like to help people. I want to help people to avoid some of the problems that I've had and stumbles that have come my way. And so if you're looking for a pastor to journey through life together with, I would be blessed, privileged, and honored if you would consider us in that capacity in your life. With that being said, to the Word of God we go, because that is what we are here for, is the Word of God. In Matthew chapter 7, verse number 21, it says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" So if I can share this with you, and that is this: practicing lawlessness will guarantee you a decree from the throne of God where God will have you removed from his presence. Sin is not trivial. Practicing lawlessness is not trivial. It is very serious to God, and he doesn't want to see you do that. That's why this admonition is placed in the Sermon on the Mount. He wants you to be delivered from the bondage of lawlessness and released to be all that you could be in serving the King of the Kingdom of God. So we have been focusing here on this concept of lawlessness, and we're not going to spend months and months on it like we did seeking first the Kingdom of God and his righteousness. So far, we have talked about Matthew chapter 13, verse number 41, where those who practice lawlessness will be weeded out of the kingdom. And then we talked about Matthew 23, 28, where there was a disconnect between what people appeared on the outside and how they appeared on the inside, that on the inside they were full of hypocrisy and they were full of lawlessness. Today, I want to take you to the book of 1 John, back towards the latter books of the New Testament. So you've got 1 and 2 Peter, you got 1, 2, and 3 John, then you've got the little epistle of Jude, and then you have the book of Revelation. So that gives you an idea, just a few pages to the left of Revelation chapter 1, you will find the book of 1 John. And in 1 John chapter 3, verse number 1, it says, "Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested," capital H, meaning Jesus, "he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him," capital H, "there is no sin. Whoever abides in him," capital H, "does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him." And remember the emphasis on knowing that Jesus placed in Matthew chapter 7. He said, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you." So knowing him is what the goal is all about. So let's look at verse number 4, where it says, "Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness." When you look at that word "commits," you see in the Greek language that it is in the present tense. It's not just something that someone has done, it is something that they are doing right at that point in time. It is not a passive word. It is an active word. So this admonition, whoever commits, it is whoever is presently active in committing sin or making sin, producing sin. When you begin to do the word study on that word, it is in line with the concept of God creating the world and God creating mankind. It is something that is going to have a result that is left behind. So this is not just something that is casual and unintentional. It is not something that, whoops, we just kind of fell into that. In reality, I know of that most of the sins that I've had to repent of in my life have not been accidental, but they were intentional. Every once in a while, there is something accidental that happens. Like I tell someone that I'm going to be there at a certain point in time, and then you are on the way to fulfill that promise, and then you realize you're not going to fulfill that promise because there's a 3-mile-long traffic jam. That's an unintentional inconvenience for a person's life, and they could say, well, you lied. You said you were going to be here at such and such a time, and you didn't. So because I want to avoid those as much as possible, you will find that I am early to almost everything. When I was younger, we were late to so many things that I became knee-jerk. I swung the pendulum all the way to the other side. I would be there 15 minutes early at the latest because I just despised being late. And so you might be the person and you say, you know, I've been late to things all of my life. You can make that adjustment if you want to. So we don't want to be people who are inventing ways or creating ways that we are producing sin, because that is not what the goal of a believer should be. Jesus did not die on the cross so I could continue to be an active participant in committing sin. He died on the cross so that I did not have to live that way anymore, so I could be delivered and empowered and set free to live the life of holiness that God always wanted me to live. So it says, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness. And then it says, and sin is lawlessness. And that word for commits means it's a fact. God is not hypothesizing. He is not doing some explorative thinking. You know, that's a possibility. It's a fact. And when God states a fact, man cannot override it. It is never going to become culturally untrue. It is something that is true forever in heaven and in earth. And so it says, whoever commits in a present, active, creative way that is leading to the byproduct of sin in your life also commits lawlessness, which is either a lawless act, an act that is beyond the scope of the law as what is permitted, or it is a condition of a life without the law. So in American history, there were places known as the Badlands, and there were places where they were lawless. They were kind of a law unto themselves, and then it became a place where the biggest, the baddest, the meanest, the richest, the most powerful prevailed, and everybody else lived a subservient status. That's not the way we are to live as believers. We are not to live outside the scope of God's jurisdiction. And God's jurisdiction prevails. He's sovereign. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so we cannot, as a believer, as a child of God, say, I choose to live outside the parameters of your decrees and the Word of God. So sin is wrongdoing. It is a sinful act. And along with those sinful acts, and the devil will not tell you this up front. He will say, oh, you can do that. You have freedom to do that. That's not what Jesus died on the cross for. What he will not tell you is that if you do that, there is going to be guilt that comes from that act of disobedience right away. He will say, oh, you are free to do that. And immediately after that, the guilt that the Holy Spirit will bring into your life, the conviction so that you should run to Father and ask him to forgive you so that you don't do that again. There's that guilt that will come there, not to condemn you. The Holy Spirit will operate with conviction, but the devil will come with condemnation. And he'll say, how could you ever have done that? God is so offended by this that he will never forgive you. And listen, when he lied at the beginning to get you to commit the sin, he will then turn that lie around and try and get you to think that you are in a hopeless condition, and he will be lying to you and say God will never forgive you. That is also not true. God does not want you committing sin, but if you do sin, if you will confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's in 1 John chapter 1, verse number 9. You and I are not supposed to live a life as practicing sinners. The sin that is described here, it's the word hamartia or harmatia, however somebody wants to pronounce that. There's probably a right way in the Oklahoma way, and so probably harmatia. But that is a moral violation of divine commandment. And when I was looking up that word, it means that it is typically used in a plural sense because one sin tends to lead to another sin. One violation of the law leads to multiple violations of the law. And pretty soon you have this spiritual snowball effect going on where your sinful act has led to a sinful lie, which has led to another lie, which has led to another sin. And you see it just continues to build unless you cry out to Jesus. So most people think that they have not done much in the way of sinning. I think when we get to heaven, we will find that God has forgiven us of much more than what we were even aware of when we surrender to him. Sin is a global condition. This status of sin, this committing sin, that it's a global condition, and it's infected everyone. It affects everyone. If you sin, it can negatively impact me. If I sin, it can negatively impact you. So there's been changing moral standards in America that has been shifting away from morality and has been embracing immorality to a greater extent, and that is picking up steam. You know, they made fun of a particular minister back, you know, decades ago when he described the descent from holiness and righteousness. He described it as a slippery slope, and it's awful hard. I don't know if you've ever been in an environment where there was a lot of ice and things like that and going downhill. The city that I grew up in had a particular road that was very steep. It was a very high road to climb. And it also was prone to some very cold and wet weather. And that particular road would ice over. And if you didn't make it all the way to the top before you lost traction, you would find yourself sliding down this hill, and you would be picking up speed and losing control at the same time. I only know about that because I was in a vehicle where it happened. I wasn't the one driving. You avoided that road because you didn't want the impact and the damage that was going to come when you got to the bottom of that very steep incline. Guilt has a tendency to remain even after the sin act. To give you an idea, when I was a child, there are several incidents that occurred in my life. And listen, I had more acts of obedience than I had acts of disobedience. But the disobedience still stands out vividly in my memory, even though I've confessed that sin and asked Jesus to forgive me of it. The guilt of that, excuse me, could still be very present if I didn't embrace the fact that God had forgiven me of that sin to this day. It impacts. The force of evil that enslaves humanity only remains empowered until you ask Jesus to forgive you, to cleanse you, and to be the Lord of your life. After you have put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the believer is liberated from that state of bondage that he lived in the sight of God. So, if you want to know how Jesus is looking at society right now, he's moved with compassion because he sees that they're in the bondage of sin, and there is freedom that is available, but it is only available through the transformative work of Jesus Christ on the cross, where he breaks the bonds, the power of sin, and we begin to walk in freedom, not to do whatever we want to do, but freedom to live the life that God wanted us to live all along. So he said, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. It says he, Jesus, was manifested to take away our sins, to take them away, to remove them, to separate us from them on a permanent basis. And in him, in Jesus, there is no sin. It's interesting when you think about the modern mindset. The modern mindset thinks that sinful man is righteous, and that the sinless God, in whom there is no darkness, is the entity that is where error is and where the condemnation comes from. Nothing could be further from the truth. That's why God prophesied in the Word of God that there would be days when that which is good would be called evil, and that which is evil is called good, and that people would not only be engaging in sin, but they would be actively promoting it, encouraging it, and endorsing it. And believers in Jesus Christ cannot do that. Sin is sin in the sight of God. And there is no sin in God, so there can be no sin in heaven. So he's got to deal with that. He can't just wink at it. It's got to be confessed so that it can be forgiven, so that we can be reconciled to the Father. If we abide in him, we are not going to be actively, presently, creatively producing sin in our life. If we are abiding in him, the holiness that is in God is going to manifest in us not wanting to have anything to do with an active sinful lifestyle. Whoever sins, this is where we're going to end today. Whoever sins exists in a state of lawlessness because the Bible says they've neither seen him nor known him. See, the Bible describes that when believers see Christ, that we will see him as he is, and it will manifest in us a lifestyle that looks just like what we've seen. So at one point in time, I owned this car. Thinking back on it, I had known a person who ended up with a type of car like this because of some lawlessness that they had in their life. But prior to owning a Ford Tempo, I didn't recall ever having seen a Ford Tempo. Once I owned them, they were everywhere. Because I had a personal relationship with them, all of a sudden I was aware of what they were, where they were. You know, it's kind of like when before my wife was pregnant with our first child, I never noticed pregnant women. And then when she was pregnant, all of a sudden there were pregnant women all over the place. What if our perception of Jesus had that type of impact on our life, where we've seen how holy he is, how omnipotent, and how aware he is of every detail of our life, and we'll say, you know what? I want to be like him. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So the degree of our revelation of Jesus is evidenced by the status we have of sin in our life. Don't sin, because if you continue to be actively sinning in your life, it means you haven't seen him as he is and you don't know him the way he wants to know you. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Dream.